today, who offered his divine grace to his Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Who is, as everybody knows, the spiritual master of his divine grace to the Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, Acharya, this God. On the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, went all over the world, preached, saved us all. So we are grateful to Srila Prabhupada, unlimitedly, eternally grateful. We are also unlimitedly, eternally grateful to all the Acharyas, by whose desire we have not only been saved from the darkness of ignorance, but engaged in the topmost activity of spiritual life, namely carrying on the mission of the Acharyas to reach Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Now, I'm presuming that most of us here are familiar with the life story of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, I'm going to tell some stories which I collected from some of his disciples. A few years ago, I thought that probably most of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples have already passed away. And whoever is there, they're not going to be here much longer. So I thought to interview them and to collect stories, just like so many Prabhupada's disciples were interviewed for compiling the Prabhupada Lamrita. So I thought better late than never, even though most of the Saraswati Thakur's disciples have passed away. So to interview some of them. And I was able to meet most of those who are still, or who were still living at that time. One of them in particular, his name is Jati Shekhar, he's living as a householder in Orissa. He was very pleased to meet me, and I sat with him on different occasions for several days and collected many, many pastimes and anecdotes. He said that I'd been carrying these in my heart for many years, and I was very disappointed. I thought I was dying without these pastimes being broadcast to the world. But now I'm very happy that you've come, he said to me. He said, I'm like the goods storehouse, and you're like a train bringing it. So still, I haven't published that as a book, but still, somewhere other than Power of Maya, my own incompetence, and vocabulary publishing, still in the long process of editing. I have many of these stories on computer disk, but I put it up soon to the disk or something, so I think I've lost. And many stories. They're not in any particular order, but I start to speak. Where's the thing? Of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as his very name says, he has established that the Siddhanta, the ultimate conclusion of scriptural knowledge, is bhakti, pure, unmotivated devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. And particularly as the Pranam Mantra for him states, Sri Rupa Ananda Yudhva, other Siddhanta. One of his particular tasks is also Madhuryacharya Premadhyam. Only in the line of Rupa Goswami, he gives pure devotional service at the highest level, but also in his service to Rupa Goswami, he destroys or he smashes all the wrong conclusions, the wrongly propagated conclusions of devotional service that are against the conclusion of Rupa Goswami. Now, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very controversial and revolutionary because now we're sitting here and it's accepted more or less by the general public, general body of intellectuals, and scholars of religion in India and throughout the world, that Gaudiya Vaishnavism is represented by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But he has to fight to establish himself. At that time, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had been preaching, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had given the idea about the intellectual classes that Krishna consciousness is not simply, as Vivekananda said, Vivekananda told you that this was the general idea among the intellectual classes, especially in Bengal, that this Krishna Bhakti is a sex worker, because Krishna consciousness has been so much misrepresented that it was expected that if someone is a follower of Lord Chaitanya, that he is a devotee, that he has illicit relations with women. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had given that idea. Bhaktivinoda Sarsar Thakur established that idea very strongly, and he fought throughout his life against the wrong teaching of the false devotees. And he was very, very strong against it. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote very strongly against it. But in his personal dealings, he didn't create enmity with others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. And he even crossed the wrong path in this regard. And when they were living in Puri, when Vimala Prasad, his name was given Vimala Prasad. Vimala Devi is the deity of Durga Devi in Puri. So, the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so, when he was a young man living in Puri, he was fighting very strongly against this Nidai Gaurajni Sham, this mantra which is chanted, not actually mantra, but some so called chant, which is chanted by a false Sampradaya, which was headed out by, that was founded by one Babaji, Ramana's Babaji, and his followers, Ramana's Babaji. So they were very prominent, and they still are quite prominent in Orissa and Bengal. And they would go everywhere and chant this Ajahnitari Gaurade Shamidasa Hare Krishna Hare Ram, which is a catchy tune, but it is not, according to Siddhanta, it's not given in Shastra, it's not given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they have many wrong ideas. They think of Nityananda, Ramana's Babaji. And there are many funny ideas. It is something which appears to be bhakti, but it is not. It is actually an offense, because although it has all the external appearances of being bhakti, because the idea is wrong, because there is rasa bhava, because there is a mixing of mellows, they want to put Lord Nityananda with Radha and Krishna. You know, they say this is Lord Nityananda is actually Radha. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are so many reasons. Anyway, he stood very strongly against that. He used to make protests. He told his followers, because this was later in life, but he didn't know that he was protesting against that. He used to say this is the Chuar. Chuar means a rat. This is not the chanting of rats. So there was so much, he was creating quite disturbance. Because people in general, even learned scholars and devotees, they couldn't see what was wrong with this. They thought, well, it's very nice. These people that renovating temples and they're chanting Hare Krishna, they wear tilak. They're very good people. What's wrong with them? Because there was something basically wrong. So many things appear to be right. But because there was something basically wrong, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was affected. Therefore, he fought against it fully. Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested his son, please go to their wrong. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was, in his early life, he was trained by his father in all the aspects of printing and publishing. Later, in Cuttack, in Odisha, he established a press just in the area of the Jews. And he said, when he first, when the press was first installed, he had a ceremony, just like installed in the deity. So he offered his full obedience. He said, this is the Guru Ramananda, this is completely transcendental. This is, as this worship, this working of the press, this is as good as the deity worship. He said that in my childhood, I was trained by my father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I was trained by him in all aspects of press work. And actually, even if something went wrong with the machine, Bhaktivinoda Thakur corrected, he knew how to correct the printing. Every aspect he knew about writing, how to write, how to proofread, how to edit, how to typeset, how to print, all the aspects of Fijian youth. So he used to tell that, my father trained me in proofreads, but I don't only proofread books. I proofread people. I proofread religions. I proofread the world. I find a mistake and I put it correct. And he said, I was born in Kakakalaka, which means there's some crab. He said, just like a crab catches people and pinches them. So in the same way I catch, if there's something wrong, I catch that and pinch it and put it right. So he was very strong. He didn't compromise in any way. Even people used to protest to him about so many different things. He used to, especially this loud chanting of Hare Krishna. Now it was somehow or other the Sahajiyas, they had decided, and it was spread throughout the whole of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was apparently in the hands of these Sahajiyas, Jagrasais, the hereditary Goswamis. So they had decided in their envy that chanting of Hare Krishna should not be done loud. That which should be done loud, in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to preach, because they're actually envious of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they don't want people to be benefited by his movement. They make a show of being his followers and accept disciples for their own filling their belly business. But the actual benefit of chanting Hare Krishna loudly, they wanted to stop them. So what is done such a title? He reintroduced that we should chant Hare Krishna loudly. And there was so much protest. Why are you doing this? And of course, there is evidence from Shastra, just like Rukh Goswami in his Chaitanyashtaka, describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says, Hare Krishna is your child. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was loudly chanting Hare Krishna. But one time there was a big meeting called in. I think it was in Kakasana, or somewhere. So there were so many pundits called, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati didn't go himself. He sent some of his sannyasi followers. And when they were up, he told them, they asked, what should we say? When people are going to say, they said, nowhere in Shastra we find the Lord Chaitanya chanting Hare Krishna loudly. Even, of course, in Chaitanya Bhagavad, it's mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling everyone to chant Hare Krishna. But they can't directly find any evidence. They're saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting in Kirtan, and they may find him chanting so many things in Kirtan, but not Hare Krishna, according to the Sahajis. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati told them that you go and tell them this, that when they're chanting Hare Krishna, if you see this anatomical analysis of this, how this mantra is set up, that is Sambodha, means in Sanskrit grammar, there are different cases. The first case is Sambodha, when you're calling, just like in English, you'll say, O Krishna, Hey Krishna. So in Sanskrit, when you say, O Krishna, when you're calling out to somebody, you just say Krishna. There's nothing to precede it or to call it. Krishna, that is the way of calling out somebody. So it gets said to tell all the people that chanting Hare Krishna, it is in this form, therefore we're calling out to Krishna. Therefore, we should call that Helena and something. So they went, and all the people were convinced that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said that's all, Helena. There was so much protest against him, especially his brother, Lalita Prasad, who was his blood brother. He was very much akin in his preachings and teachings to the Jagatas, the caste Goswamis, and to the so-called Babaji's of Vrindavan and Babaji. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was not against Babaji's per se, but most of the Babaji's at that time were bogus. They were not actual followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some of them, there was Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji was accepted by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and in Vrindavan there was one John Krishna as well. So some he accepted. But mostly he didn't like the Babaji's, and they didn't like him. And they brought so much protest, and incited by Lalita Prasad, they said that you're not following something you're talking. They used to give siddha sonali, they used to tell people would come to them, and immediately they would tell them that, well, you're forming Krishna Lila, you're a peacock or a parrot or something like this. And in this way they cheated people. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati stood against it. And he pointed out the faults in many, many essays and in his preaching. He wrote, just as Bhagavacharya wrote the Mayavada, Shatadushan, pointing out 100 faults of Mayavada. So he pointed out the Prakritarasa Shatadushan, the 100 faults of those who want to say that Rasa, that the Rasa of Krishna Lila, that can be understood when one is still on the private level, when one is on the mundane level, when he is not transcending the modes of material nature. So he pointed out the faults of this. And there was some matter. There was a book printed by Babaji in Vrindavan, criticizing and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura. All the things that he was not following Bhakti Siddhanta Thakura. Actually, in many ways, it seemed that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, he had introduced something new. The Sahajiyas of Vrindavan, they criticized him that how is it that you are giving Brahman initiation when your guru used to give Brahman initiation? Because Gauri Shaka and Babaji Maharaj, he gave initiation, he gave the name to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Vashakandi Devi died in us. He gave the name. And he didn't get any beads because Gauri Shaka and Babaji himself didn't use beads. He simply get his or name and his some dust and not even his permission. So, he didn't give you Brahma initiation. How are you giving Brahma initiation? None of the followers of Gautama are talking about that. Why are you doing this? Why are you giving Brahma initiation? Why are you giving sannyas initiation? How are you taking sannyas? No one gave you sannyas. So, Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur, he wrote a book in the tribe. Purva-bhakta-priya-nanta pratyotra, it means his language also is very high. And a reply to the opponent, Priyana, because the person who wrote that book is called Priyana. So this book, quite a big book, but the essence of that, he said that Bhaktivinoda he is Kamala Manjari. He has come to this world for preaching, and he has told me to establish Daivi Gana Shandhana. So I'm doing that. I'm on his order. I'm preaching and I'm giving people initiation as Brahmins and sannyasis. And he said that people may criticize me, but no one can do Bhajana like me, and no one can preach like me. Jai Ram Kamala, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, there are so many Babaji's who are doing that, but no one could do bhajan as he was doing. Before he came out, he was preaching, but then he changed to Mayapur. In his youth, he was preaching, but at one point he became apparently disgusted by all the Sahajiyas, the insincerity. And that even though he pointed out all their faults, he stood against them, they weren't interested. So he came, I think it was for 9 years, he lived in Mayapur. And he was performing very severe austerity and chanting Hare Krishna day and night and living at the lotus feet of Gauri Shankar Prabhuji Maharaj. So, and then even later, when he established his mission for preaching, even then he was always chanting many rounds, studying very deeply. He studied Chaitanya Charitamrita 100 days times, Chaitanya Bhagavata 100 days times. He was like an ocean of scriptural knowledge. He could quote on any shastra and give the correct meaning. This is the real meaning of an acharya in the true sense of the term. One who is vastly acquainted with the shastra, what is their meaning? So, even when he was preaching widely, but still he spent much time in his bhajan. He used to say that whenever I wake up in the night, I simply get up. If I wake up, I get up. That's all. He was always, no one could see that he could get up. He would always be up before everybody else. So, of course, he was very strong in helping his devotees to be very strong in their bhajan and their preaching. At the same time, he didn't like anything artificial. One time, one brahmachari, he wanted to chant a lot, he didn't want to sleep much. So he tied his shikha, you see where they keep these, the beds, they have bamboos to put the mosquito on them. So he tied the sheep up to the bamboo so that it wouldn't fall down like this. So one time he was tied up like this when he's chanting, and anyway he was. So Bhakti Sansasra Thakur came and untied his shikha and told him, don't try anything on Krishna. He wanted his devotees to be learned, but at the same time, he didn't want artificial scholarship, an artificial attitude. Some of his followers, they were very much close scholarly and studying so many books, he would tell them that, what is the use of your studying all these different leaders? Who's going to listen anyway? Who cares for all your knowledge of the Vedas? Just go out and preach. Not that he didn't want people to know. They would go out in the morning, door to door, preaching. And in the afternoon, they would come back and every day they would have Krishna Goshtis in the mud. And in the beginning, Bhakti Sansasra Thakur trained his disciples, and then later on, some of the more senior ones, they had this system. They would go door to door, and they would have magazines and little books. They would ask for donations. So naturally people would say, well, why? And then they would preach that we should give to us because. And then people would make so many objections, this method they had going door to door. So if people couldn't answer, if the brahmacharis were going out preaching couldn't answer the objection, then they would come, they would tell them, please, I don't know the answer to this, but I'll consult with you Maharaj, tomorrow I'll know the answer. So every day they would have, after lunch prasad, they would have Ishta Goshti, and they would read, especially from the sense that Thakur recommended, that all the devotees should become very much acquainted with Jaiva Dharma and Chaitanya Shikamaya. So every day they would have some reading on that, and then they would take questions. So what questions did you meet today? And then they would give the answers, and they would go back, and here's your answer. Like this. So this way they were trained for preaching. They were preaching and collecting funds for different projects. But Bhakti Sansasara Thakur, he was very particular how funds were collected. One sannyasi who was in Bombay, and he went to the house of one rich man, and the wife brought him some sweet, and the sannyasi said, no, I can't take this, I can't accept your food. I can't accept your food unless you give us so many thousand rupees donation. Because in the Chaitanya Mahā, the devotees are there, they're having much difficulty because there are no tubers. So you must give some donation to establishing a tuber. How can I take when the devotees are suffering? So then the wife, because in Hindu custom it's understood that if a guest comes to your house, and he doesn't take any food, then you'll get a very, it's a very bad thing for you. You'll get a very bad reaction. So practically you support it. So you get a donation. But when Bhakti Sansasra Thakur heard about that, he was not very pleased. He was not happy that another time, one called Hayat Maharaj, he in Qatar, he went out collecting in the market area. Now, in Hayat Maharaj, he went out collecting in the market areas. Now in the market there are so many Marwaris. Marwaris are a business community in India. And usually not only Marwaris, but any business people, they'll be evading on income tax. So Bodhai Maharaj went to see the income tax collector in Qatar. And he asked that you please come with me and let's go to the Marwaris and make some collections. Because he was thinking if the Marwaris see him, then they'll be afraid that if they don't give a donation, then the income tax collector is going to get on his case. So the income tax collector said, no, I can't. So he said, all right, well, can you do one thing? Can I borrow your car and I can drive back to the mud with your car? So he said, okay. So he went back to the mud, but he took a diversion to the bazaar on his way back. And he just happened to stop at all the shops of the different Marwaris. And he told them, just come to the income tax collection, trade in his car, and I'd like to make some collection. So this way he made quite a good collection. And he came back to the mount and got out of the car. And he was very jubilant because he collected so many devotees, so many trusted fans, so much money, and so many things. And he called out, Jayam Vishnupasara Mahamsa Parigraha Dasaraya Sutra the Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Sumpad over and over again. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he came up on the veranda, he used to this, and on the roof of the ashram, he came on the veranda to see what all the noise was about. Then when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj saw him, he offered his full obeisances. He was very happy that now he had something big to offer to my Guru Maharaj. So, Sajar Kakos, he called him up and he asked what's it all about, and he brought him so many dhotis and so many items of food, so many food. And he asked, how is this being collected? So he told him everything. So Sajar Kakos was very upset, he was very sorry. So this is not the method of Vikka means collection. And he called, there's another sannyasi there, Puri Maharaj. He called him. And he asked, who brings your collection for the day? So Puri Maharaj had gone out, and in his sutaria, he'd gone out collecting as a traditional sannyasi. And he collected some vegetables, a few vegetables and some rice and a few paisas. So Bhakti Sansa Chaitanya took his sutaria, and he accepted it. He said, yes, I accept it. This is sattva. Your connection, that is Rajat, that is an emotive passion. This is not the process. Previously to that sannyasi in Bombay, we told him that this is not our process of collection. We told him that we should go, it's not our instinct to take some money from people, but we should speak something to them about Krishna. And then if they're satisfied, then they give something, then we can accept their donation. It's not our process simply to collect money by any means. So, this kind of kata, he told Bhagavan Maharaj, you take all these things back. And not accept them. Of course, you shouldn't misunderstand. Because our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he accepted funds. And the different, preaching in different times, places, and circumstances. He was preaching lectures who had no idea of Vedic culture. So for such people, to give a donation by any means is good for them, even by hook or by crook. So, different times of service. So anyway, this Bodhaya Maharaj, Jyoti Shekhar, he was a young brahmachari. So, one time one queen, at that time they were in the British times, there were so many kings and queens in India who ruled, so many kings who used to rule different areas under the British. So in one area of Orissa there was Ali, and then the queen, the queen of Ali was the Ali Rani, Rani means queen. She came to the mat in Kata at one festival, and Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu was serving prasad at that festival, and everyone was in the line taking prasad together. And Bodhaya Maharaj thought, well, let's please the queen some more because she's an important person. So he gave one very nice mango to Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu, and he said, you give that to the queen. So Jyoti Shekhar was a little disturbed because in India everyone knows the culture that wherever you are, if you're all sitting together to take prasad, you don't give one person something special, everyone takes the same thing. So he's a little disturbed that people will think there's something wrong with this. So even though he's a sannyasi, he protested and said, well, how can I do this? That is against the etiquette, that's the wrong thing. So Bodhaya Maharaj became very angry with him and started chastising him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati heard that, and he asked what had happened, and Bodhaya Maharaj explained, and he said that no, he said to Bodhaya Maharaj, no, you are wrong. You are wrong. This boy is correct. So after that, he never called Bodhaya Maharaj by the name Bodhaya Maharaj. He used to call him Ali Rani Sanyasa. And he said, are you a sannyasi of the Gaudiya Mutt, or are you a Ali Rani Sanyasi? Are you a sannyasi who who was a mother of this Ali Ram, Queen Adam. So he always just, and actually, he made many sannyasis for preaching, but several of them became disappointed with him because they were very interested in prestige, and they were very concerned who can give the best lecture and they can become famous as a big preacher. He was specifically very upset that Ram Maharaj, who was sent to England, and then he came back and advertising himself as a great preacher, but he hadn't fulfilled the mission. And in so many ways. So he used to say, Karinamshandashi means I made them sannyasis, but they simply become sense enjoyers. So he was disappointed in them. One time, one of his followers, there were two householders in particular who were very scholarly and good writers. And Bhakti Sattva Sattva liked them very much. One was Nishikant Satya of Tishikara, who was a professor in provincial college in Qatar, but who he used to, every month he used to give all his salary, he was getting a good salary, he used to bring that, all his money, to Bhakti Sattva Sattva. And Bhakti Sattva Sattva used to give him a little bit back, whatever he needed for his income. So he was living a very poor life because he had plenty of money, good income. Another one was Sundaranand Vidyarthino. He was a very scholarly person. He wrote many books, of course, later on, after the passing of Bhakti Sattva Sattva. There was some controversy, but during his manifest presence of Bhakti Sattva Sattva. One time,